Okay. Can you get it all the way over there?
No, I'm going to bring it to you.
I'm just supposed to remind you about a certain Petri sugar. Getting on what?
I think you were supposed to remind me more than that.
I'll see. Hopefully I remember you.
Okay. I think we left off. We had discussed Sefer Aleph, and there's a lot more details here, but we're not going to go through. We're going to try and cover some ground for the next couple shiurim, even if we have to skip some details. So let's go to Seif Yud Beis. Nimtza Kesem al Chaluka Lamata Me HaChagur. We finished it, Aleph, right? Okay. All right, let's see. She finds it on her dress lower than the belt, or on the belt. The belt is higher than where Damnita comes from. Yeah, when you bend over, it gets lower sometimes. She is Tmeya, any place that's found on the bottom half of her clothing, even if it's found on the outside of the clothing, because the clothing, the dress sometimes folds in and out and goes in all different directions. Doesn't matter if it's in the front or the back, or when it's done on the side, they show got hanging because they go in all different directions as you walk and do different activities. Any part of the dress might, any part of the lower half of the dress might be keneged. Also, might be keneged also makom. The Pesach Tshuva here brings down something more relevant to modern day. To modern day halacha, the Sidrei Tara talks at least about the Gemara, which actually comes up a little later, that says, what if you're even wearing three different skirts, meaning one on top of the other? Then it doesn't matter if it's on the inside, the outside, or the middle one. Either way, it could have fallen there, because you never know, as you walk and do activities, all the skirts could like fold and turn in different directions. So he quotes here from the Sidrei Tara that says, that's talking about skirts and dresses, etc. But malbushim gemurim, prat malbushim shalanu. But if you have things that are actually like closed clothing, like our underwear nowadays, then you don't have to worry if you find a stain on your skirt, because it couldn't get to your skirt without going through the underwear. So you only have to worry about the underwear. You don't have to worry if there's a stain on the skirt, because there's no way it could have gotten there without going through the underwear. That's what the quotes from the Sidrei Tara, and he quotes from the Panami Eros, who says in a slightly different way. But that's his basic vart. What does that mean nowadays? So the Badi Shulchan here points out, just using logic, he says it's a little tricky to say nowadays, what if a woman taka finds? It doesn't happen too often. Meaning, this really is good logic. Like, it's very rare that a woman will find a stain in her skirt and not in her underwear, just because the underwear blocks it from going to the skirt. What if Taka does find a stain on her skirt and not in her underwear? So, according to this Pesach Tshuva, Chafav, we would say it's not a problem because it couldn't have come from the Rechem. It must have come from someplace else. The only tricky part is that the Badei Shulchan, if she thinks it could have gotten onto the skirt when she got dressed or undressed or went to the bathroom or etc., based on how she normally acts, then she'd have to be machmir. So the Badei Shulchan here, if you want to look at it, Sifkat and Kufna Beis, says you have to use common sense, and she has to see whether it could normally have fallen onto her skirt. But if, using common sense, she sees that there's no way it could have gotten onto her skirt without hitting her underwear first, then she wouldn't have to worry about it. Okay, back to the Shulchan Aruch. V'yavra b'shuk shel tabochim tahora. Right, this is based on what we'll see later on in Se'if Yud Ches, that there's something called a tlia. Right, for example, if she went to the slaughterhouse, obviously you don't mean she went to the butcher store nowadays. In the butcher store nowadays, all they do is sell meat. But in the old days, the butcher store means where they shechted the meat, so there's obviously a lot of blood squirting all over the place. So, m'ar v'shut shal v'bachim tahora filo nimtzel sa'pnim ve'al v'sora. if she went to the butcher store, then, or has any other outside tliya, then she's tahora, even if it's found on the inside part of her skirt and on her skin, she's still tahora. Ah, how to get to the inside part of her skirt and her skin? It could have gotten there somehow if her skirt was folded the right way, even in the butcher shop. We saw earlier in Se'if Yud Aleph, in the previous Se'if, that if it's only found in her skin, she's not told in the butcher shop. But if it's found in her skin and her dress, even in the inside part, then she is tola. The amnimsa chaluka bilvad miyachogar l'malo tahora afilin is dakra v'gbiya ragleha afilu lo'ovar b'shok shal tabachim she'ilu b'amna makar hayanimsa al hayanimsa gam al besara. Right, whether or not it says the word gam, that's what he means. Okay, all of these are machlokas rishonim. But without chazrin, the sugya isn't getting rishonim. We'll just stick with how we paskin. If she, let's remember, if she finds it below the belt, then what's the rule? If she didn't go to the butcher, go to the slaughterhouse, etc., she's tmeya anywhere below the belt. If she did go to the slaughterhouse, then she's tahor if it's on her clothing, tahor if it's on her clothing and skin, tmeya if it's on her skin. What if she finds it above the belt? Then, if we remember from last time, if she didn't turn upside down, she's for sure tahor, because it couldn't have gotten there from the makor, from the rechem. What if she did turn upside down? Then she's tamei, because it could have dripped when she was upside down. However, there's a rule here. If you think about it, this seems like a logical rule. If you turn upside down and the blood is dripping from the uterus, then it can't go only on her clothing, not on her skin. Because it has to like drip down her skin to get anywhere. And therefore, if she finds it only on her clothing, even if she turned upside down, it's got to be from someplace else, even if she didn't go to the slaughterhouse. If it's on her skin or her skin on her clothing, then we assume it could be from her and she's tamei. Okay, all of these are, you know, logical, rules. Yes?
Wouldn't apply that rule if she only found it on her skin above the waist.
If she only found her skin above the waist, then if she turned upside down, she would be tamei.
But
would
the rule that it must have dripped, so we would see it on her skin below her?
No, because maybe she only bled when she was upside down. And then it only dripped the wrong way.
But on clothes, we assume that it must have been on the skin too?
No, on clothes, we assume if I turn upside down, like the blood is, basically it's like this. If the blood goes downwards, it can land on her skin or on her clothing, right? Because it has like the whole place to go. If she's upside down, then the blood has to drip down her skin. It doesn't have a free way to fall. I don't know how to illustrate this whatsoever. Here it can fall anywhere. If it's like this, it can't really fall anywhere because it's blocked by her whole body. It just has to drip gradually down her body. And therefore, it would be either on her skin or on her skin and the clothes. But it can't be only on the clothes because like there's no way for it to get there. Now, okay, I know you can start. What if she's like this angle, that angle, 11 degrees? Let's assume that, you know, that that it works out. I think it does. I just, you know, I'm not a good enough mathematician to be able to run the equations. But I think it makes sense. So let's just chazer for a moment. Where is it found? Here it's found below the chagur. Here it's found above the chagur. How are we going to do this? Here it's found only on the chaluk. Chaluk and the basar, or only on her skin. So, if, what do we say here? We say here, if it's found only, sorry, went to the Schlachthaus, didn't go to the Schlachthaus. So, if she didn't go to the Schlachthaus, then it's usser, then where she finds it?
The belt or below. Technically, I mean the belt or below.
If she went to the Schlachthaus, then this is mutter, and this is still usser, because how would it have gotten only on her basar, right? We saw the two hasberim based on Tosas and based on the Rashba.
and we pass it. How about if it is above the belt? Then you're going to ask yourself a different question. If she turned upside down at some point, or she didn't turn upside down. If she didn't turn upside down, then it's mutter regardless, because like it couldn't have come from her. Like, I don't know where it came from. She didn't go to slaughterhouse, but it doesn't matter. If it couldn't be Damnida, it can't be Damnida. Where'd it come from? Not my problem. What if she turned upside down? Then, in these cases, it is Osir, because it could have dripped down, but if it's only found on her dress, that's impossible. If it had dripped while you're upside down, anything drips while you're upside down can't only go in your clothes without going on your skin. I think that makes sense, even though I've never tried it myself.
But if she had a plea for the Chalukah and the Basar...
If she went to a slaughterhouse, right? But what if she went to a slaughterhouse, then in this case it would be mutter. But in this case it would still be osur, because if she went to a slaughterhouse, it couldn't have only been on her skin without being on her clothing. Right? Okay.
Isn't there a yeshomer that says that it's just on the basar? Isn't
that
like
a sheet of the right or
something?
Oh, yeah, there's all machlokes rishonim. Both these sides of the board of machlokes rishonim, but we're not going to chazer that now because we want to be a little more makatzer in this part of the Shulchan Aruch in order to have more time to be ma'ayim in the later parts of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's go to Yud Gimel. Nimtza al beis yad shal chaluka, what if it's found in her sleeve? Beis yad is a sleeve. Imam Bakr shenitzu adam beis yad magia beis turfa, if that part of her sleeve can get to below the general area, Tamea. Afilo in Yochlok Yilushamin came Tishka Harbe, even if we can only get there by leaning over a lot, still, since Yadaimus Kami was saying she could have put her arm under Osomako, even if she had bent over a lot, then the blood could fall in her sleeve, then that counts as a place that's connected Osomako. In Yochlok Yilushamin Klaal Tohor, but if that part of the sleeve could never have gotten there, and then she's obviously to over because it's not connected to Osamako. Okay, the basic idea is clear. Yud Dalet. Haisa poshato maskasa bolaide. If she had a clothing which she took off and used as a blanket during the nighttime, right? A multi-purpose garment. It was a dress, and at night she took it off and used it as a blanket. Wherever she finds damas tmeya, because you know, your blanket at night, it moves all over your body. Because it goes all over. Okay, we all experience that as well. When we sleep at night, you know, everyone moves around in their blanket, goes in all places.
Likewise, if, yes? That applies like
Jamal
because like you move a lot
in No, but you can't move so much that this part of your pajamas is going to go some up because it's on your body. So you can probably not move that much more than with clothing when it comes to pajamas. Like whatever reaches, reaches. Whatever doesn't, doesn't. But like a blanket, even the part that's mamish like on my neck, during the night, it could get twisted around and be connected to Osamakum. Likewise, we found in the Maporish and Machasa Rosh, in the Tichel, Mitpachat, that's what we call it nowadays, the Mitpachat, which she covers her head with, Oshichu Gerisbot, or she wears as a belt, meaning, it doesn't mean that she covers her head during the day, it means at night. If at night she puts it on her head, or she puts it around her, then when she sleeps at night, it could go anywhere, and we assume that it could be Kenegat Osomakom, unless we in Kosher Barosha Hatev Shemur Gamke Bitsato Kosher Yafa and Fashes, if she tied it well around her head when she went to sleep at night. And when she woke up, she found it was still properly tied on her head, then obviously it didn't go anywhere during the night, and it's okay.
We don't consider this a suffix, since we don't really know if it went, where it went.
We do, but anything that could have landed there from the Mokor is included in the Xeruk summon. Well, some are suffix. You don't know for sure where the blood came from. But the rules of the Takana Darban Uksamim is any place it could have come from the Mokar, there were goes on. Even if we don't know if it was under the Mokar, if it could have been. Tesvav. Shtei Nashim Shekisu Roshem Cholik Echad. When they went to sleep. Shtei Tameos. So two women, they both put the certain dress on their head. They're both Tameos. And then they find blood, and they're both Tmeiyos. So, achas kissa, v'acheres lo kissa, afi shashteim lovshu acholok, v'nimtza akesa v'malo mi'achogar, oso shekitza kissa Tmeiyo, v'acheres tohora. Meaning, two women wore the dress, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. And on Monday night, one of them put it on her head, Tuesday night, the other one put it on her head. they find a stain, they're both tame, because it could have been for both, then kedeged hamakor. But if one of them, I mean, this is an obvious test, but not really a chiddush. But if one of them wore it on Monday and covered her head with it at night, and the other one wore it on Monday and didn't cover her head with it at night, and you find a stain above the belt, then obviously it's got to be the Monday woman who put it on her head at night when it could have gone anywhere, not the Tuesday woman who just wore it normally. So the Monday woman is Tameya and the Tuesday woman is Tahora, just common sense. Tesayin. In Yeshla Maka B'Tzavara, basically what Tesayin is saying is, just like we have the rules of what could be Keneged Osamako for where Damnita could have fallen, likewise you have a Tliya, let's say she has a Maka in her neck, then you have to use the same rules to determine if this part of the garment could have been someplace where blood could have dripped from her neck or not. Remember, the Shach says here the same thing he said earlier, that if it's on the sides, we're talking about the sides of her neck, because if it's on the front of her neck, then it can really drip anywhere. Like, all you have to do is lean over and it can go anywhere.
What's the difference between the two women in one dress and, like, the Shnei Shvilim?
We'll get to that. We're not ready to answer that question yet.
That's not a
question which the minig is to answer in Tesavav, where it's really a side point. That's a question which the minig is to answer in Sif Chaf Hei, which is the, you know, where all the Achronim discuss.
Okay.
Because you see, like, the two women is just a tangent here. The actual sugi of two women starts in Chaf Hei. Here it's just like they're bringing two women because they're talking about covering your head. Okay, Tesayin. Im yesh lo maka b'tzavar, if she has a maka on her neck, and she finds a stain on her dress under the belt. So under the belt, it could be damnita. But if there's a maka, you could be told on the maka, so could the blood come from the side of her neck to under her belt? Not really. It's on the side of your neck. There's no way that could get to your skirt below the belt. But but if she takes it off and uses it to cover her hair or to cover her body at night, then we are told that the kesem in the cut on her neck, because at night it could have gone on her neck. Yod Zayin. Matzah kesem l'mal l'me'achog or kesem l'mat menu. This is the Gemara. She finds one kesem above the belt, and the kesem l'mat menu, one kesem below the belt. Yodashlon is dakor. She knows she didn't turn upside down. Right? Most women probably know they didn't turn upside down most days. I think most people probably are not in good enough shape to turn upside down regularly. Interestingly, the Mefarshim point out, let's first read what it says. Then, Tahora. She finds one above the belt and one below the belt and didn't turn upside down. She's Tahora. Why? Because the one above the belt must be from something else. We don't know anything else. She didn't go to a butcher shop. She didn't do this. But it must be from something else, because it's impossible that it came from Damnida. So if the one above must be from something else, that means there was a something else. We don't know what it was. There was a something else. If there was a something else, we could be told that the one below was something else also, because we know there was a something else. That's what he said. Shaviyomer kamosha elyon b'miyama kach ba'tachton. Just like the one above the belt came from someplace else, likewise, the one below the belt came from the same thing. Like, she didn't notice anything. Like, I don't know. Next to her, someone must have, shefted a chicken while she wasn't looking. So, if that got to the top of her skirt, it could also get to the bottom of her skirt.
Don't we usually not assume that two something came from the same place?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. We don't assume they came from the same place, but they could have. Meaning, we know, basically, from the top stain, we know there was a source of red next to her. Once there was a source of red next to her, the one on the bottom could have come from there. If it could have come from there, that's good enough. That's the rule of Tliya. As long as it could have come from someplace, that's good enough. So I'm not sure I understand your exact question. Feel free to ask it again.
I need to reformulate a little bit, but I feel like when we have different samim, we treat each one differently. Don't say
we do treat each one differently, but now we have a Tliya.
For one of them.
No. Let me give this again. Let's say we know someone shepherded a chicken next to her, and she has five stains. We'd be told all five in the chicken, right? So we know someone. We know someone did a staining thing next to her because she has something on top. So if that guy was doing a staining thing next to her, we'd be told at the bottom also.
Even if all five are on the bottom, we'd be told.
Correct.
Correct. But medvar, when is this true? Sheish ve'elyon kugris ve'ol. This is only if the top stain was more than a gris. Oh, yoser, or more. Shavadim yamal, but it must have come from something next to her. Shari aim the close of the kina. It's too big for a lass. Of an aim book gris ve'ol. Aim tolon osome alma to shemadam kinahu. But if the top one is smaller than a penny, then that doesn't prove someone was doing staining activity next to her. Maybe it's a louse. And therefore, you cannot be told of the bottom one. If the bottom one's more than a penny, she's tmeya. So if the top one's less than a penny, the bottom one's more than a penny, she's in trouble. So the top one we call a louse. And then nothing interesting happened. If nothing interesting happened, she has no way to be told of the bottom one. Okay, this is a Gemara, and it's pretty logical. The a few ha'aros here from the Nosei Kalim. First of all, the Shach said, yeah?
Maybe you get a chance to think about if she saw the bottom one first.
Now I remember that you pointed out that question. What if she had seen the bottom one first and then found the top one? Do we say when she saw the bottom one first, she saw it was usher, and now it's too late to reevaluate? Or do you say, no, now she finds the bottom one, she can go to the top one, the Mafreya, she can go back and reevaluate? Good question. I'm not sure. Maybe the body of Shulchan Aruch, someone discussed it, but I didn't bring it here. So I'm not sure. I apologize. A few hours. The one of the Shach points out, she has to know she didn't turn upside down. It's not enough to not know that she turned upside down. In order to have a Tliya, you need a basis for the Tliya, so you need to know that you didn't turn upside down. There's also tons of discussion that will say, Kalim here, what if the one above was on your dress, the one below was on your skin, etc., trying to make all different combinations. We won't go into them. We won't go into them right now. And then there's a whole discussion. What if the one above was red and the one on the bottom was black, etc.? And they point out, the Rabbi Akiva points out, this is discussed in the Gemara, it's Machlokes Rishonim had a Paskin, and all the Achronim Paskin, the Pesach Tshuva said, it's Kaf Lamed, the Morastabra idea, the top one was red and the bottom one was black, then you can't be told that, because all you knew is someone was standing red next to you. That's not a good speaker for black. Okay, which is the opinion of most Rishonim and pretty much all the Achronim.
Because only if they're both the same color.
Only if they're both the same color. Okay, Yudches. Yudches finally tells us a principle that we've been assuming all along. Kaven Shiksum Drabanan. Since Cynthia Shiksum is only Drabanan, remember, even if she knows it's her menstrual blood, it's only Drabanan if she didn't have Argasha. Since it's Drabanan, Mekilim Behem, we're very makel about them. Atolu Kaldar Shikul Litlos, we attribute them to any possible alternative source. Even if it's much less than 50-50. Even if it's only 10% or 5% likely, or 2% likely, whatever. Ketzad shechta behema chayorof, if she shechted a behema chayorof, oh, nis'aska b'ksamim, or she dealt with stains, she was cleaning off stains. Oh, yashav tzavetas behema, she sat next to people who were cleaning off stains. Oh, she'avra b'shutshal tabachim, or she walked through a slaughterhouse. V'nimtza, or technically it doesn't mean a slaughterhouse, it means a street where people slaughter. V'nimtza dam b'videha, and she finds dam under clothing, tolo behen utahora. She is Tola and she's Tahora. She can, even though we don't know where it came from, the rule of Ksamim is that since Ksamim are Drabanan, they declare that you can do a Tliya. Afilu Vesha Shlosha Chalukim Zal Zev and Nimtza Afilu V'Tachton. Even if she's wearing three skirts, one on top of the other, and she finds the bottom skirt, she's still Tahora because they could fold different ways. Remember, we saw in the Pesach Tshuva that I mentioned a few moments ago. Chafav says now that she has underwear, then she can't be Tola, on the inside of her underwear, obviously. On the slaughterhouse, in the corollary of Sukkot Chafav in the Pesach Tshuva, aval im nimtzal b'sorei in tola. This we saw in Yeralfo. Also, if she finds it only in her skin, she can't be tola. It's on the board. Elam keish lamaka b'guf, unless her kli has a maka on her guf. Av tola b'alfil b'sorei, then she can be tola even if the stain is purely on her skin. Im makam she'efshal adam not to be shem. If it's possible that the blood could drip from the maka to there. This is the first Mishnah, the story of Rabbi Akiva that I mentioned the other day. Even if the makah healed, if the scab could be scratched and it can start bleeding again, by scratching, even though right now it's scabbed, it's not bleeding, since it could have gotten scratched and bled, she can be tola. So even a far out tliya is okay, but there needs to be a basis. It could be a scabbed over a wound. But it has to be a bit. You can't just say maybe something happened. You need a concrete basis. I walked through this area,
or I have this on my body, or etc. But if once you have a concrete basis, even if the odds are slim, that's a valid plea. Sam?
How does it work with, didn't we say in your days that even if she finds on her buser, then we're, if she walks through the Shokshel Tavachin, then she's still told on that?
No, that if it's on her buser and clothing, both. That's what we said in your days.
Right.
Only if it's on both, right? That's this case, the middle case.
Walking through like a slaughterhouse, I feel like there's a lot more reason to be told than if she might have had something that could have been scratched. Like, that's two steps removed. Isn't that much?
No, she had a wound. It might have gotten scratched.
It's healed. Like, there's nothing there anymore.
Sure there is. There's a wound with a scab over it.
But it's not bleeding.
That's the chiddush. The chiddush is you need to have something there. That something could be unlikely to bleed. But as long as there's something there, that's a valid plea. You're right. What are the odds that the scabbed over wound got scratched and bled? Only 2%. I made it up. 1%. But there's something there you could be told of. Now, you'll say, you can't say, well, there's 2% odds something might have happened from someplace. No, you need a specific thing to be told on. But once you have a thing to be told on, even if the odds are slim, you could still be told of that. And why? Because it's the Rabbanan and they built in that kula.
Isn't that the same thing for
No, then if we don't know it's bleeding, then we're not necessarily told on a maka, right? According to the Rama, only if you have other sudden mahaka, let me know, rely on all them. I mean, then it's very controversial. First of all, we no one would have a hapkin of a scabbed up maka. No, no one would go that far. It would have to be, you know, a maka that, you know, what we think has some chance of bleeding. We just don't know that it's bleeding, and even then, we paskin that you need to have a maka that you know is bleeding, or other proofs. So it's very different. The Pisrei Tshuva in Sukkot Laman Aleph, we don't have to go through it, but just brings tons of great examples of Kleos that came up in his days. You know, just to mention some of the things he says here. He says, a woman who always gets nosebleeds, if she easily gets nosebleeds, that's a good Kleos. Chicken feces, apparently, could be red. I don't work with it that often, meaning ever. Women who sniff tobacco and some of the tobacco is reddish. And then when you sniff tobacco, often it drips. I'm not a bucky in sniffing tobacco. A great example, he talks about colors that bleed. Obviously, we like to hope that when we buy our red clothing, it doesn't bleed. But, you know, sometimes you get in trouble washing the red and the white together. So I'm sure their colors are a little less, the quality was a little lower than ours. So sometimes they said if you have red clothing and the baby's wearing red clothing and pish is in it, then it could get the red on you. Or sometimes they used to have red clothing, if you sweat, it would get the red on you. So all those things, basically, I mean, these examples are just examples. You know, you just have to know. Nowadays, I must admit, other than a maka, tlios are not so common. Nowadays, tlios are not so common. Why? Because first of all, we live in a much more sanitized world. No one walks by slaughterhouses, etc. And most of our colors don't like bleed onto our other clothing every time we sweat. Like, you know, we just have a more hygienic, sanitized world. So nowadays, it's very rare to have a tlia on anything but a maka. Very rare to have a tlia on anything but a maka. And also because we have underwear. So like, what are you going to tell the underwear on, other than a maka? You know, underwear, you know, whatever else it might be. Like, you know, it's pretty uncommon to have any tliya of anything but a maka, but theoretically, you could have a tliya. You know, I don't know, a woman painted her fingernails red and then got dressed while her fingernails were still wet and found a little red on her underwear. Maybe she touched that with her fingernails before the nail polish was dry. You know, you have to figure out what's possible. But, so maybe, but it's pretty rare to have a tliya nowadays of anything but a maka. Because we just live in a very clean world. Makas, on the other hand, that's a more common tliya. Maka of osomakum. I mean, a maka of osomakum, where maybe sometimes hemorrhoids start close to osomakum, and some places it could have landed from there. Right, even a maka, if someone has a cut in their... cuts on neck sounds very dangerous to me. Someone has a cut on their shoulder, someone has a cut on their ankle, whatever, that's also pretty rare. So basically, the only common tliyas nowadays are maka in the genital area, someplace here or there, wherever it may be. But theoretically, you never know when you could have one of these tliyos, and you just have to use your common sense. If there's a concrete basis and it's possible that it got there from there, then you can be tola, as the general rule. But it's, you know, I don't know, maybe once in my whole life that I have any shayla of a plea of anything besides a maka. Well, you could also have a maka in finger in your fingers. Makas in hands also could go anywhere, right? So when it says my finger is bleeding, that I've heard of a few times. My finger is bleeding, so that's okay. That's a relative thing. Finger is bleeding or maka boso makum someplace. But other than that, maybe once in my whole life have I ever had any shayla with any other kind of sliya.
Probably not so relevant today, but back in the day, I don't know the impression that we get of somebody walking into the slaughterhouse. They could have something that are way bigger than the size of what would be considered a flow.
I mean, they would have, not without noticing.
Right.
You know, if you had that much, you probably would have noticed. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't know. I mean,
use common sense.
Yeah, we use common sense. But, you know, I have no idea. It's hard to put ourselves in that situation. Okay, so one has to know about these, but lamaisa, usually it's only makas in the general areas or in hands that are relevant nowadays. Otherwise, just, you know, our lives are too hygienic and it doesn't come up so much. Once we had some shayla where, this is later on, this is an aid. A woman put an aid in her pocketbook after a bedika, and then found an open lipstick in her pocketbook. And the question is, if there's red on the aid bedika, can you be told on the lipstick?
That's
a little later in
the same.
What?
It's not the same.
There's all different shades.
But it doesn't look like lipstick.
I don't know. I'm not bucking these things.
But is it? Don't we say that that's a kind
of... What?
Don't we say that that's not a...
Yeah, that's what I said. It'll be later in our simon. Okay, but we'll get to later in our simon. Anyway, I don't know. It's Tzarki, and you'd have to... That's also later in our simon. Okay, we'll get to all these things.
Does that matter? I'm saying, like, I can look at lipstick. A woman can look at lipstick and say, I know that's lipstick. And even though we say that we're all kind of all red.
Okay, we'll get to that. I think we'll get to that. Okay. Yud Tess. Yeah.
So what's the difference between these things and the stay of Pelosi CRISPR and Makolas? Like, if you can change, why can't we just say that, like, too much of the business theory, anytime you can be told it?
No, because the Makolas you could turn into a shear, right? Meaning, the difference is this, very simple, because we postulate from Chanina ben Antignos, we call it, that you're tola on a Makolas even if you didn't see any evidence of one. So therefore, that's clearly a different type of halacha than these tliyos, which are only based on concrete evidence. You know, and that's where most you can say. That's just a shear.
For everyone who used to have macholas as around, so it was considered that they always, it was a concrete evidence thing. And
okay, but then maybe you wouldn't say like Ramosha. You know, the way we say, I think it's because we assume that they made that into a separate rule, not a regular tliya rule. But regular tliya rules are case by case, and then you can't make a general rule nowadays. Okay, your test. Kashem she told a baka told no vavala. She can also be told on her husband and son, meaning who touch her all the time. In this askubik samim, if they dealt with stains, om yeshma maka, or they have a maka, why? The fishadarkum lingua, if they touch her, and therefore that's a valid kliya. Volim hayu asukim dam lo nimsan dam. But if they worked with something blood already, and they don't have any blood on their hands, ain't a tolerum, she can't be tola. Unless they were near her, you have to add, they were next to her, and they were doing something with spritz, like shechting, etc. So if they were next to her and did something spritzy, then it doesn't matter who they are, even if they're a stranger. Obviously, she'd be tola. Whenever someone next to her does something that spritzes red liquid, she could be tola on them. That's nothing special about close relatives. What's special about close relatives is even if they were not doing something spritzing, or they weren't next to her at the time, and then they come home, but they're still dirty from red, she could be told that, because the assumption is that close family members are always touching, and therefore, even if she doesn't specifically remember, you know, that they got her dirty. I mean, anyone who has, usually nowadays husbands are more clean, but anyone who has little kids knows that if you have a little kid, you're always going to be dirty with whatever the little kid touched, no matter what, and whatever... there's no part of your clothing that will be immune from this. The general rule is that whichever part of your clothing you really, really need not to get dirty or needs dry cleaning will get dirty from your...
Did you apply this to...
We paskin like her.
Did you apply this to showing the kid with a husband that you find a little bit...
But again, we're not talking about a bedika here. We're talking about a kesa. If she found the kesa, but... Again, that's why it's not so shy nowadays. I mean, nowadays people like something inside of their underwear, right? We're talking about the old days when you found it on your skirt or on the bottom of your legs or something. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Would you apply it? L'chore not. I would assume l'chore not. That's what you meant. I would say l'chore not. In any case, nowadays, it's pretty rare to be told a kesem on someone else, because it's pretty rare to be told a kesem on anything outside yourself, because if you find it inside your underwear, then obviously you're not going to be told on anyone else. But in the old days, before they invented underwear, you know, if she finds it on her, remember, her heel or something, so it could be from her and her heel, it could also be her kid or her husband, or, you know, also touch her heel and her skirt, etc. Right? Skirts especially. Anyone who has little kids knows that they're always getting your skirt dirty. The Ramah adds, "V'hudim shachu mitam nashim sheish la makos begufan tolu b'hengmom novala." So it's not anything special. Not like a chok about her husband and kids. It means anyone she's in constant physical contact with. So, for example, let's say she slept in a bed with other women. Right? She wouldn't sleep in a bed with other men who are not her husband or kids, but she might sleep in a bed with other women. You know, they bunk together. Then, if she slept in bed with other women, they have a maka, a wound in their body, that she could tell on them. So it just means anyone who has physical contact with her, which is just usually the husband and kids. The Shach points out here, he quotes from the Bach, that what does it mean, this Tnai, if her husband or kids were busying themselves with blood, and we don't find blood on them, she can't be tola. Says, it doesn't mean we don't find blood on them now. It means we didn't find blood on them originally. Like, if they have blood at one point, she could be tola. Doesn't matter. Now she finds a stain. Now their hands are clean. Doesn't matter. With their hands dirty originally, then she can attribute the stain to them. From here, the Achronim, if you look in the Pridea, I don't have it in the back. Maybe some people do. But the Bar Yeshochan here quotes from one of the first in the Pridea that who understands from the Shach and Bach that she can only be told on her husband or her kids if we know that they got their hands dirty. And that's what it seems to be, right? If we don't find dam on them, she can't be told. Meaning we can only be told if we know they got their hands dirty. Either we saw they got their hands dirty, or based on the activity they did, it's obvious they got their hands dirty. Right? But you have to have some concrete basis. So you can't just say they might have gotten their hands dirty. You need to know that they got their hands dirty, either because their hands were dirty, or because it's the kind of thing that generally gets your hands dirty.
So if a woman's husband is a butcher, but you didn't know he came home with dirty hands that day,
because a butcher always has dirty hands. By always, I don't mean 100%, I mean generally.
Let's say he went to a slaughterhouse.
So that's it. If the husband went to a slaughterhouse, she cannot be told on him if she doesn't know his hands are dirty.
But it's the same exact possibility as if she was...
No, because it's two steps. Maybe his hands got dirty, maybe not. Maybe
he always touches his wife.
But he doesn't always touch her in a way that he'll get her dirty and that the part of her skirt, etc. No, I'm not the cop.
That's the two steps that I was asking about before, in Rabbi Kiva's case. I think that's also the two steps. Where she has to look that heel, and then it has to first get open, and then she has to touch it.
No, it's on her body. Of course it's going to drip all over once it's opened.
But isn't...
It's going to get on her if it's open, right? It's exactly where it drips. Doesn't count as a step. But dripping here versus there doesn't count as a step. If it opens, it'll drip somewhere.
Needs to daft be the hands?
No, it doesn't daft need to be the hands. That's just the typical case.
I'm assuming the husband washed his hands at all?
You have to use your common sense, but not everyone washes their hands all the time.
Common sense would be not to have bloody hands when you
come home. That's running water.
No, but it doesn't just. No. Here I take it back. Effie was right. It doesn't have to be hands. He could have gotten anything dirty, right? He could have gotten his clothing dirty. He's not going to wash his clothing when he comes home. You know, he could have gotten his feet dirty. He's not going to wash his feet when he comes home. So, your maybe hands, yeshbaze mashu, depending on, you know, how hygienic the husband is, but it doesn't have to be hands. I shouldn't have said the word hands. I should have just said him. That's your test. Chaf. Misha Raga Lotzminu Dam Derech Pihama. Okay, we hope this doesn't apply to too many people. Someone who, meaning nowadays we do know this is a thing, right? That people have blood in the man has blood in his urine. But nowadays, usually with advanced medicine, what does it mean when he has blood in his urine? It means he has some trace amounts of blood in his urine and something hurts and he goes and does a urine test at the Kopat Cholim and they say you have blood in your urine. Obviously in the old days, before modern medicine, where there were no such things, like if something hurt, it just hurt and he dealt with it. And then eventually he had blood in his urine, meaning mamish blood in his urine, like it just was blood. Again, that's something we hope we don't get to. But if the man has blood coming out Sorry, I shouldn't have said in the urine. Blood coming out of his aver. And after Tashmish, she checks herself and she finds blood. Tol about she can toll on him because obviously his aver was there. V'shas Tashmish. So maybe the blood came out of there. The Mefarshim here point out it's in the Rabbi Kiva Eger and in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that based on their knowledge of medicine, if there's only blood in the urine and not any other time, she can't be tola. So when there's only blood in the urine, then it can't come out during Tashmish. But if there's blood that sometimes comes out other times, then she can be tola. Okay, that's just a practical limitation. The Pesachei Tshuva Lamed Daled also quotes out, points out, according to Ma'arit, that if the man is bleeding from his aver, then for 3 days afterwards she can be tola because of Boleta Shechazera, because the Shechazera could drip out for 3 days and it could have blood in it. So for 3 days she could tola her husband again. You don't want to be in that situation. Meets out the man, even if it will give it to Leah to the wife.
This is in Nisavim? If there's a Hargasha that's playing
on here? This is interestingly. Case of the Mechaber says Be'ed Ha'isha sounds like even if it is in an aid, because you say there's a Makkah that's known to be Motzi Adam, and then you can be told even a B'dika on it. So yeah, we're sticking in something that might meet the standards even for a B'dika. Chavalef. Heinchon d'shtacha kesem b'shipula me'achora. If she finds a kesem in her skirt, the back of her skirt, meaning the back part of her body, umaka ifimikama, but the maka is in the front part of her body. Telling you why you still be tola. The efshar diyosva hafta basra asalakama abenafu me'amal. Because maybe when she was sitting, the back part of her skirt went around to the front. We know in skirts the back can come around to the front and vice versa, and therefore the blood dripped on it, so it's no problem. That happens nowadays also. All parts of your skirt when you sit, turn around to the other half of your body. Chafbeis. If she's not sure if she went to the slaughterhouse, or she's not sure if she sat next to people who are dealing with red stains, ain't a tola, she can't be tola. Meaning, to be tola, the odds can be slim, but you need to know you have a basis. The maka could be a maka that's unlikely to bleed, but you need to know you have a maka. The slaughterhouse could be a slaughterhouse that doesn't always squirt on you, but you have to know you went to a slaughterhouse. If you don't know whether or not you have a basis, that's not a valid kliya. That's only true in cities where people shecht or deal with red stains in a certain place. But if you live in a city where they slaughter in every street, or they deal with other red stains in every street, then it could be told to the whole city. Because maybe her gisha here doesn't mean what we call our Russian notice. Maybe she went past the slaughter and didn't notice. So if you have a city where they do dirty things that get red stains all over, then you can be told that the whole city is like one big shuk shel tabachim. Here, the Mechaber is leaving something out, which is a Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara points out that any city with pigs, you can be told that if you went anywhere in the city, because pigs always squirt stains all over the place. Tosos pointed out, the Beis Yosef quotes, that in their days they all lived in the cities with pigs, because the Goyim liked to eat pigs. And they didn't squirt stains all over the place. So they assume it must be different from the days of Chazal. So nowadays, the days of Chazal, there were more dead shrutzim and stuff that the pigs would squirt. And in their days, the pigs wouldn't squirt so much blood. So the Mechaber passes like Tosos and leaves out the pigs, because nowadays, even in cities with pigs, they don't squirt blood so much. Of course, nowadays, there aren't that many cities where pigs run loose. Even in cities where they raise pigs like on farm, you know, in a barn, you know, in a pig pen, in a farm someplace in the outskirts of the city. So it's not so shy. But if you would go to a third world country and be in a city where pigs run loose, you would not be able to be tola on the pigs, because it passed like Tosos that nowadays the pigs don't squirt a lot of blood. I guess maybe they eat different things than in the time of Chazal. In any case, you probably don't want to spend too much time in those towns. Chav Gimel. Nis'aska b'davar adom v'nimtza la kesem shachor o ipcha. Meaning, the tliya has to be the same color as the stain. Otherwise, it's illogical to be tola. So if the tliya, she dealt with something red, and she finds a black stain, o ipcha, or vice versa, ain't tolen bo. B'medvar mumr adom b'shachor v'shachor b'adom. Well, adom b'adom b'shachor b'shachor, but different shades of red in each other, different shades of black in each other, feel me to nikr mamash adom alo, even if it's not quite obvious that it's the same tola, but you can be tola. Why? I assume the idea is when something stains something else, the shades change a little. So black and red, red and black, no. But different shades of red, you know, something can be one shade of red, and if it gets onto this particular surface, it'll look like a different shade of red. And therefore, that's a valid tliya. So, for Gonshus, Aska b'mei tilson, o b'mei basar, these are different shades of red that are mentioned in the Mishnah back when they used to know the shades of red, the waters of fenugreek or of cooked meat, o b'kilor adom, or a salve, an eye salve of red, tas tolobo adom, you can be tolo all shades of red. So you can total all shades of red in all shades of red, as long as, you know, I assume that this is subject to common sense. If it's very obvious beyond a shadow of a doubt that it can't be, then you wouldn't be able to be told. But minastam, you can be told all reds in each other, because you never know what red could look like on a slightly different surface.
Isn't the obvious question that shofar is done is adam shaloka?
Yes, but apparently it can't be loked just so easily. Maybe it takes time to be loked, or maybe... We're not sure what loked means as part of the problem. Could be loked takes a long time for oxidation, or could be loked just means in the uterus there's something that could be loked, that's something that could be a calculate. But assumption that doesn't happen, stop. Okay, there's a Rabbi Kiva Eger here, which is very strange, who says that if she worked with red paint, she can't be tola on the paint because there are chemical tests which distinguish paint from blood. And if she doesn't do the chemical test, then she has no right to be tola. And even if she doesn't know how to do the chemical test, she has no right to be tola. No, everyone passing against this, Rabbi Kiva Eger, because as we'll see later, usually when you have Safa Durban Lakula, we'll mention this later, usually in Safa Durban Lakula, if there's a way to test, you have to test. You can't just be mako. But in Ksumen, there's a specific rule built in by the Chachamim that a tliya is matir, and you don't have to test. And therefore, no one passes like Rabbi Kiva Eger here. Even if there's a chemical test you could use to see if it's a... You painted with red paint, and then you find red. You could do a chemical test to see if it's paint or blood. No, even if you could do a chemical test, you don't have to do the chemical test, you can be mekel, because that's the rule of tliya. Although it's a special rule of tliya, more powerful than the usual rule of suffig, drabon and lakula. Although, Rabbi Willig did point out, he says, if it's obvious beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is dam and not paint, then you can't be told that. You know, there's a limit at some point. But anytime you have an honest doubt, even if it's a 90-10 doubt and not a 50-50 doubt, you could be told that. Chaf dalet. Nisaska b'tarnegoles, if she shefted a chicken, tola bo adam shachar v'karkome, you could be told that all different colors. Red and black and karkome is crocus. Not exactly clear to me exactly what crocus is. I mean, I know what crocus is, a flower. Now, that flower could be a gazillion different colors because crocus is a genus and there's many species within it. But the local crocuses, anyone know what color crocus petals are? They're a light violet, which doesn't make much sense here. What are you told a light violet that's not really reddish at all? Probably what they mean is not the, someone help me out here who remembers high school better than I do, not the petals of the flower, but the, like, what's that, stamen, whatever it is? Those little stringy things inside that have something to do with reproduction? Someone help me out here?
Stamen.
There's a stamen and a pistil spelled differently from this kind. And I don't remember which the stamen and which the pistil. I think these are the stamens, but don't hold me to it, you know, if it was... if the flowers needed my help to figure out their reproductive organs, there would be no more flowers.
It's red.
And the inside is red. How do we know it's red? Because from those stamens inside the crocus flower, they make the spice called saffron, which is a red spice, which is very, very hush in the old days. I think some people still use saffron.
Wow.
Anyway, you see the inside is red? There's no red petals on any type of crocus flowers, but... The ones that they knew of in the old days in the Middle East all had very, very hush of red thingies, stamens, or whatever they are inside. Okay, you have to... There's a lot of discussion in the Torah Mada people, how to figure out the Gemara's discussion of all the details of which part of the crocus flower and how to get it to work or not get it. Now, let's assume it means these reddish stamens of the crocus flower, which you make the expensive spice called saffron from... which are different than the regular red color. It's a different shade of red. L'maisa, what this means is, you can be told of many different shades of chicken, fisha damshki, tasa adam, when you shecht it, it comes out red, v'dam v'ra shachar, the blood that comes from its inner organs is black, v'dam v'ra miyak, the dam that comes from the intestines is the color of the crocus, inside of the crocus flowers. Okay, l'maisa, we're probably not going to be called on
to apply this seif in modern day reality. Chaf hey, here we get to a big lumdish machlokas that Ellie asked about before. Shtei nashim shenisasku b'tzipor echad she'emu dam elikasela. Two women were misasek with a certain bird. Not a chicken here. Chickens are big. They used to eat small birds in the old days, right? So they're misasek with a bird, and the whole blood of the whole bird is only the size of a seller, the size of a coin. Bigger than a gris, right? Sellers are bigger than pennies. They're big coins. But there's only this much blood. The nintzas kolechik seller. Each one found a stain of seller. Meaning, one of them could have gotten the stain from the bird, but the other one has to be damnita. And we don't know who's damnita and who's the bird. Shtein tamales, they're both tamales. Ellie will say, because she reminds us of the soyav, shnei shvilin. Except for the fact that we're not sure how the psak matches shnei shvilin. That's where you have a tremendous machlokas achronim. It's actually the same sheet as in the achronim, if anyone learned it's your heter last year, as in Kusim Kof Yer Aleph. The Shach and the Taz say the same thing there, they say here. And the Bach will say the same thing there, they say here. And most of the Rishonim say the same thing here, they say there. Some of the Echron differentiate, but not for now. L'maisa, what's the machlokas? Let's review the case of Shnei Shvilin. Suffolk Toma versus Harabim is? Tahar. So, let's say there are two paths to get from Minsk to Pinsk. And one of them has a grave going across the whole path. You have to walk over a grave. The other one doesn't. And two people are not locals. They don't know. So if one guy goes from Minsk to Pinsk and you ask, which path did you go? And he says, I don't know. I went on one path. I don't remember. You know, I didn't mean two different paths. Like, you know, for like 3 meters, there was like two ways. He doesn't remember which way he goes. He didn't remember there were two paths. Yeah, could there have been some place where you could have gotten like, kind of teal, like at one little area, you go this way around the rock or that way around the rock. Yeah, he doesn't remember. So he says, I don't remember where I went. Rosh Hashanah, you're Tahar. What if two guys went and they said, right? You must do this on Tehillim also, right? One guy goes this way and goes that way to see like the difference between the two ways. So they say, we don't remember who went where, but remember we split up. We each went on one path. Then what's the din? The din is, you'd like to say Safa Drabban Lakula for both of them, but that's impossible. They can't both be Tahar because one of them walked over a grave. So we have no choice but to say that they're both Tameh.
No, but they really are Tahar, but just because they don't have a Paris base, in how we say that one of them's
Tahar. Yesh Lion. Yesh Lion. Yeah, okay, Ellie's saying it's only Drabanan, so Bezim wouldn't look bad. Okay,
yeah, even. That's him and Tahar.
Okay, fine, but it doesn't matter. We say they're Tameh halachically. This rule also applies to Safa Drabanan Lakula. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Tes, B'dikas Chametz is Drabanan. Why is B'dikas Chametz only Drabanan? Because be derisive of bittel, be almasagi, you could just do bittel. So if there are two clean houses, right, this is, okay, good thing there are no women in this year, because then they'd have nightmares and not be able to sleep from now till Nisan. There are two clean houses, and a mouse grabbed a piece of chametz and ran into a house, and we're not sure which house he ran into. And what happens? Safed Rabbanan Lakula. If I don't have to check my house again, maybe the mouse brought it in, maybe he didn't. Problem is, what if two houses and these two people want to know what to do? We can't say your house is mutter and your house is mutter because there's bread in one house and therefore they both have to check. That's the general rule that even when you say Safek Rabbanan Lakula or Safek Tumah Brishas Harabim is Lakula, if it's a Tarte Desasre, if there are two kulas that are mutually exclusive that contradict one another, then we can't be Mekel on both these cases because that's impossible. We can't be Mekel on one and Machber on one because how do we know arbitrarily which to pick to be Machber and which to pick to be Mekel? Therefore, we have to be machbar in both because there's no other choice, perhaps only in Darabonim, so that it won't look too funny. Now, what does the Gemara say, however, about Shnei Shvilin? The Gemara differentiates in two cases. There's a machlokas talking about the in-between case. But what's the, in the case of Shnei Shvilin and all the parallel cases in Shas, what do they say? If Ba'u Lishol, Ze achar ze, shnehem tehorim or mutarim. If one of them comes and says, "You should know, Rabbi, I was walking with my friend from Minsk to Pinsk, and we split and went around a certain rock. One went on the right, one went on the left. I don't remember who went where. Am I tahor? Tamei will say tahor.
The friend comes in and says, the friend comes in 3 hours later and says, Rabbi, gives you the exact same story, we'll say Tahar. Ah, it's mutually exclusive, it's a tarti d'sasri, no problem. When one guy came in, he was Tahar, and the other guy wasn't asking. When the other guy came in, he was Tahar, and the first guy wasn't asking. We don't have to worry about the contradiction since there were two different shilas. However, if ba'u lish'ol bivas achas, if they come to ask at the same time, the two of them come to bed together, foolish people. They both come into bed together and say, Rabbi, the two of us walk from Minsk to Pinskin, etc., etc. We don't know what to do. Then we have to make them both tummy, because we can't contradict ourselves to the same shaykh. Right? Or usher, or dubedika, or whatever the case may be. That's the general rule. When is there machlokas tanaim? About which case there machlokas tanaim? If, neither of these cases, if one of them came to ask about himself and his friend, one of them came to ask on behalf of both of them, then it's a machlok tanaim, whether we say, now that you asked about both of you, you're stuck and you're both coming, or whether we say, no, you're tahar, we'll just talk about you because you're the only one in court. Okay, and the maisa were machber on that. Okay. Now, what about this case? We just said both women are tummy. The question is, what case did we mean? So this is a famous machlokas Rishonim and Achronim. The Taz says here, and his basis in Rishonim is the Rashba, who's very explicit. He also points out the Drisha, who says this, but for totally different reasons, which are not as convincing. Okay, we can defend the Drisha, but we're not going to now. Says the Taz. Says the... So... Let's say this, they came, right, in Ksamen, here it's Pashut, Shtehem Tameos. If they came together, both the women came in with a little dove. Both women came into Shear, say, here's my dove, that's also my dove, same dove. Okay, the rabbi there is Meshar, how much blood is in the dove? This much. How much blood is on each dress? This much. So it can only account for a cone. We told him one dress on the tzipor. He has to tummy both of them. What if they would come bazeh harzeh? Do we say, no, the machaber stam wrote they're both tmeos. Even bazeh harzeh, they're both tmeos. So no, obviously he only meant they're both tmeos so they come to ask together. This is the famous machlokes Rishonim and Achronim. The Rashba, who is then paskin by the Taz, and the Drisha, I'm putting in parentheses, because the Drisha says it, but he gives a different lumbus, which is not as convincing, says that they are tomatoes. Even if only one of them came, let's say one of them came and says, you should know, I have a stain like this on my skirt, my friend has a stain like this on our skirt, and together we shafted one little bird. Then they're tomatoes. Unlike the case of Shnei Shvilin, more machra than Shnei Shvilin. However, Tosos and the Ramban, which in Achronim becomes the Bach and the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef, and again, the Shach and the Taz are Lishitasim throughout all of Arba Chalukah Shulchan Aruch, also the Taurus HaShlom and others here. Okay, we'll put the Taurus HaShlom and also, I mean, we can go forever. Said no. They are Tahoros. Basically, the Shach says this is the same as Shnei Shvilin. Why do you need to make new rules for it? The rule is that whenever you should be Mako, basically, if one of them came in and says, I shechted at Tzipor and here's my stain, we'd be Mako for her. Okay, if the other one didn't come at the same time, then we don't have to worry about it. While the Taz says, no, this is more Machra than the Shnei Shvilin. Why would the Taz say this is more machra than Shnei Shvilin? Again, the Drisha gives an answer which is very dachuk, and Shachman Kruzikesev here really attacks at great length. He says, because like Shnei Shvilin isn't Doraisa and this is Doraisa. There's a little trick. This is really Doraisa, just like an extension of something that would be Doraisa with Hargasha. Okay, Shnei Shvilin isn't Tumas Mace, which is also Doraisa. It's going to be very difficult. And even B'digas Chametz isn't also an extension of something Doraisa by Rabbi Yimatze. Very difficult. Might depend on something along this. Maybe we'll get to that next year. Anyway, but the Taz has a reasonable svara. Anyone want to tell me Even if you haven't read the Taz yet, even bonus points. Why might the Taz think that this case is more chomer than the case of Shnei Shvilin or the case of the Mouse of B'dikas Chametz?
Here we assume Tamei, let's prove otherwise.
Exactly. In the case of the Shnei Shvilin, you are Tahar. You might or might not have walked over a grave. There might or might not have been a problem. Okay, so there wasn't a problem, unless you both work in the same time. But because your house is clean, there might not have been a mouse who went in. But over here, you have a stain on your dress. It's not that you might not have a problem. You definitely have a problem. You might not have a solution, have a tliya. That's very different. If you might not have a problem, then we'll say, okay, we don't see a contradiction until it's in front of our face. But if you definitely have a stain, you just want to come with a tliya. Once you want to come with a tliya, then we have to say, well, is this a good tliya? Is this not a good tliya? And it's not a good tliya. So that's the svara. What are the svaras here? Let's just see what the svaras are. The svaras are, according to the shach, it's like shnei shvilin. And according to the taz, no, it's more chamor because you vadai have a kesem. And Suffolk have a tliya. It's very different. Over there, you Suffolk have Tumas Mace. You Suffolk have Hamit. Over here, you Vaday have a Kesem. Suffolk have a tliya. And you have a Vaday problem, a Suffolk solution. Then we have to be more Machmir. And even if you're not both in front of us now, we have to be Machmir in a case where it would be a Tarti Desasre. So that's the Taz Tarti Desasre of a Suffolk problem or Mako. Vaday problem, Suffolk solution. We are Machmir.
But if that Tarti Desasre, only one of them comes in.
No, but one of them comes in and tells us that there was another woman with the same stain, right?
Okay. So 50% chance that it's Tulin. Only one person comes in, there's no problem.
No, because we know the other person has the Shaila.
Okay.
Even if she didn't come. She didn't come to my office. She's in some other rabbi's office.
There's a 100% chance it wasn't on both. Right?
No, but I have to say this. She Vade has a kesem. Now I want to make a tliya. But hold on a second. I'm going to make a tliya for her. But some other rabbi will make a tliya for the other woman, and then we'll be possibly something impossible between us, because between us we'll be possibly a tliya for both women, which is impossible.
And if she hasn't come in at all, then
no, but theoretically she should.
Right, but we're saying if only one person comes.
But theoretically the other person's also coming. She's going to have to ask the Shaila. Even if she decides not to ask the Shaila for whatever reason.
She could ask the Shaila.
No, but it doesn't matter. She should ask this. She theoretically would ask the Shaila.
So it is that far, is it?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if she comes in the next day or she would come in the next day. It doesn't matter. Since she theoretically would ask the Shaila, that's a target of the Tassari. Even if she doesn't come in.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that different than what you're saying? That's about an issue and a suffering solution? Because, I mean, that's true for every tzia. Every tzia, you have a vada issue, and then,
Exactly, that's true for every tliya. Nachon. So for every tliya, the Taz would say, when there's a target of the Tassari, we're a machmir. And the Shach would say, no, if they're not both in court or the rabbi's office, then we're Mako. Okay, how do we paskin again? I'm not sure how likely it is to come up, but Lamaisa, most Akronim assume like the Shach here. Actually, is that true? Hold on. Okay, you know, let's come back to that next time. We'll come back to that. Let's go on to Chavav. Chavav, Nisaska b'dam shi efshishiyam in a kesem eloki gris. V'nimtza le shnei grisim. She worked with dam that there could only be a gris worth of blood for it. A gris worth of stain. She knows this amount of dam is only gris worth of stain. I don't know. She had a pricked her finger, and she's a very big expert, and she knows exactly how much of a stain that could cause, and it could only be a gris. And she finds two grises. Then it's okay, because she's told a gris in her tliya. and the other breast she can be told in a less, and therefore she's tohora. The nitsa a case of yosu shnegris in tameya. But if it's a kigris ve'od, if it's two plus a little, then she's tameya, because even if she's told one gris in the tliya, she's left with a gris plus, which is more than you could attribute to a laos, and she's tameya. Okay, this is pretty commonsensical so far. Vh Machmir says to Rama, however, Metamin Bukholzat, some are Machmir. Mikal Malkam Nirashish Lismacham Kilim Duksam Sham Lahako, but it seems like we can be Samachal Makilam. Then the Machlokes we've shown him in Ksamim we can be Mako. What's the basis of this Machlokes and who are the Shitas? So this is the Machlokes between the Rush and most Rishonim. And what's the svaras? It has to do with it's a machlokes which day to pass like in the Gemara, but what's the svaras? The svaras are very poshut. If you have one big stain, can you attribute it? Can you assume? Can you be makel and assume it came from two different things? Right? Because to be makel here, we have to assume half of it came from a louse and half of it came from your tliya. Okay? Can you split one stain into two halves? Or no, you have to assume it all came from one place. If it all came from one place, it's too big for a louse. And it's too big for the tliya. That's the machlokes. So the Rush says here. The Rush says here that right. So what if you exactly two grisim? And you have a tliya of a kigris, and you can always assume there's a macholet, which is a kigris. So says the Rush. Nope. You can't split it. You can't assume that it's from two different sources. You can't split one stain into two sources. Come on, what are the odds that there are two different stains that happen to be in the exact same place? Odds are slim. And therefore, it's too big for the tliya, it's too big for a louse, and therefore it's usser. And this is the Yesh Omrim in the Ramah. However, the other Yishonim, the Rambam, the Rashba, etc., The Rambam, and the Rashba, these are the ones who were quoted in the Torah of Beis Yosef, say, no, you can split one stain into two sources. And you can. And therefore, you can say, half it we attribute to a louse, and half it we attribute to the tliya. And therefore, it is mutter. And this is the psak of the Mechaber. And Ramah himself, who says we follow the Mikel Shita, and this is obviously going to be how we paskin.
Isn't it Mustava you cannot split because otherwise the shear wouldn't be a kigris, it would be better going to be talon, because a kigris, let's say, is one louse, but if it can combine, then say it's two lice.
No, so you'd say that since you didn't see any lice, when Chazal said you could automatically be tola, they only envisioned one louse, that was how they made their takana.
Wouldn't we have the same echo when it comes to, let's say, shrift? We got them that we spoke about last week. You have stain on part Tzavua and part Lavan. And why wouldn't the Rambam and the Rashba say, we can control the colored part to be not done?
Because that's not a tliya. Colored is not a tliya. It's not a tliya. That is a formal rule.
It's not us saying, like, we can be told because we don't
really right, know. Right, no, it's not a tliya. It's a formal rule, so that can't be mixed and matched. Rabbi Akiva Eger actually says here, interestingly, he quotes in the Il Tzedakah, that he says, even the Mekilim are only Mekilim on lice. Why? Because A, there's always lice, and B, lice are actually attracted to blood. So if you have one gris worth of blood, it actually is mistaken. The louse would crawl over to eat that, and then get squashed, and be squashed right next to it. But if you had two different tliyos that were small, you can't combine them. Interestingly. Now, here is an interesting question. Is this all relevant nowadays? Nowadays, we don't really have lice. So would you be makel nowadays in such a case? Right? On the one hand, you could say, well, let's pretend we do have lice. Right? Some sofer, etc. On the other hand, maybe you'd say, based on Ramosha, no. Nowadays, we know we don't have lice. Kegris just turns into a shear. Since it's more than a shear, then we can't be told anymore. So the Badei HaShulchan actually thinks the Badei HaShulchan actually thinks here nowadays we cannot take advantage of this. Because nowadays, lice is not a tlia, it's just a shear. And it's more than the shear, so there's no room to be makel.
Okay. Don't you have the shear plus whatever tlia you want?
So, right. No, shear and tlia, you can't combine shear and tlia. They're two different tracks.
Right.
This really seems to me to be enough community to remember we had the Chakir, Samsofer, and Ramosha. Samsofer is pretend we still have lice. So if we pretend we still have lice, we should still be able to be mako. Rav Moshe would say, no, it's a shear. You can't combine a tlia and a shear. They're two different things. One, yes, is it a shear? That's bigger than the shear. Two, yes, do you have a tlia? You don't have a tlia. I understand what you're saying. You're saying, nonetheless, take away the tlia, and then it's less than a shear.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, I doubt it's going to happen nowadays, but Lemaisa, the body of Shulchan's machmir, that you can't use a tlia on a louse nowadays because you don't really have lice. Which makes a lot of sense, although it's not mocher, because Eli points out if it's a pure tlia. If it's a pure shear.
No, I said opposite. Yeah. I mean, yes. If it's two tracks, then you're okay. If it's a tlia, you're not okay.
Right. So, now here, the next machaber, Chof Zion, is going to be very strange. So strange that the Achronim don't know what to do with him. Says the Mechaber, Nis'aska, meaning A, he's against a mafurish black in my Gemara, which he deals with in Reish Yosef. He knows that. He gives an answer that no one knows what he possibly means by that answer. And also, it's just very hard to understand the logic. Okay, if we had more time, I'm sure we could figure out a way to defend the Mechaber, but for now, we'll just attack him. Says the Mechaber, Chavzai, Nis'aska, but pochos mi gris. That's an easy one. This first part is not controversial at all. It's just the exact same case. Right? Equivalent case is, here you have kegris ve'od. Right? You have more than a kegris. And you have a tlia of pachos miki gris, and you could be tola and a macholes up to a kugris. Obviously, a kugris plus part of a kugris is more than a kugris, right? It adds up. You have 1.1 gris. Okay, your tlia is like half a gris, and the macholes could be a gris. It's 1.5 gris, more than enough. So it would be the same. And the machaber would paskin mutter, you can split it into two, no problem. The end of the Mechaber is very strange. The tliya is less than a gris. When you find two gris, then it's tahora. This case is very strange. Let's look at this case. Even the fiyam akilim. I'm not talking part of the rush. Nothing to talk about. Even lefi hamakilim. What happened? Here you have two kigrisim. And you have the tliya is pachos mikigris. A machole, you can always attribute a kigris. What's the problem? Less than a kigris, and a kigris is smaller than two gris. It's not enough. Right? So, it's not. Even this plus this is not enough. So it should be pashut that you have to be machir here. It should go without saying you have to be machir. Nonetheless, the machaber's mako.
Can you
divide
it into three sections?
Like, and so, that, one second, this is what the Ramah says. Some people are machmir. Okay. Says the Ramah, it is usher. What does the Machaber say, though? The Machaber would have to say this. Says the Machaber mutter. How could the Machaber say mutter? He would have to say l'chora, that you divide it in three. Here's your tlia, here's a macholes, and here's a macholes. L'chor, that's what he has to say. But that's a big chiddush divided in three. It's against a mefurish gemara, but she tries to defend himself against the Yosef. It's very difficult. Right? L'maisa, we possibly like the Ramah, it's usher, and no one agrees with the mechaber that it's mutter. The tazir kills the mechaber, and the shachir kills the mechaber, and the Bach kills the Mechaber, and the Bruch kills the Mechaber, and the Torah HaShlomim kills the Mechaber, oh, the Mechaber says, the Torah quoted the Ramban as saying this, they all point out that was a bad gerus in the Torah. The proper gerus in the Torah never quoted the Ramban saying this. Ah, the Mechaber thought the Rashba meant this. Now, if you look in the Rashba, it really doesn't sound like he meant this. Meaning, he was based on the Torah's quote of the Ramban, which was a Tos Sofer, and a Pshat in the Rashba, which was not the best Pshat. Lemaisa, there's no basis in this Mechaber. No one understands why he thought such a strange thing. And there's really no Rishona behind this. So the Mechaber, he says he's based on Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban doesn't exist. It's a bad Gersa. And the Rashba is his interpretation, which is not a Mechaber interpretation. Everyone else is based on all the Rishonim and the Furish Gemara. Lemaisa, no one holds like this Mechaber. It's just very strange.
Can you use the Rabbi Akiva here that Rabbi quoted a few minutes ago? About how they're attracted to some blood, and that, you know, you were saying that.
So they might have been attracted to the blood and come on both sides, yeah, but it's still against the Gemara.
Not even a three thing, just some. That if you,
how's it going to help? The tzli is less than a kegris. Even if a louse came, it would only be less than two gris. Okay, more will come. Yeah, okay, you're still being too lice. Yeah, but that's a, the Gemara says mefurish not that way. So it's very hard. Yeah, then aim the double self. Yeah. It's, anyway, it's a big tema. Obviously, the Mechaber knew, had some svara, but whatever that svara is dachuk enough that we consider it a shita dechuya. However, if she doesn't know how much dam she worked with, then we can attribute any size kesem to it. Because it might be the right amount. Meaning, you need to know you have a tliya. You don't need to know the amount. If you know the amount, you have to cheshbon whether it works out. If you don't know the amount, you can just assume it's okay. Obviously within reason. You know, meaning if it might have been enough of a tliya, that's fine. Right? As long as you don't know that it was too small. Okay. So much for Chav Zayin. Chav Ches. Ha'isha shematza achaluka kishnei grisim v'kina me'uchavo. This is an interesting one. She finds two gris and a squished louse. Tehora. Why? She'a gris ha'echad vadim v'kina me'uchavo. V'gris ha'sheni v'nogol shal v'kina acheres kemin she'emu gris v'od. Two grisim and a squished louse? Well, one of them is obviously the louse. That's not a tliya. That's pashut. Because you found the squished louse there. So you left only one gris, and that might have been another louse, which makes sense, certainly, once we split into two. So one is a vadai louse, and you're always allowed to be told of one on a surmised louse. Chavtes. Harga pishpesh on a tolum bar katormas, chazar a tormas, to your gris, called din shamardu. If she killed a bed bug, or a tola up to the size of a tormas, then you could substitute tormas for gris and all these dinum. Lamed. Eina tzricha lahakith. Let's say she has a tliya. She doesn't have to bring the tliya. Lahakif, what does lahakif literally mean?
Compare.
Now, what does it literally mean?
Circle.
No, I mean, yes, sometimes. Ein tormin elemina mukaf. Does that mean in circle? What does it mean, ein tormin elemina mukaf? You guys are such chutzlar, it's you. You don't know basic kindergarten halachas. Right, the Rav said, what does Eretz Yisrael mean to him? Right? Eretz Yisrael means some Seder's Rahim, Trumos, and Meisters, and Shvias. So, Ein Torm Elimin Amukav means, right, Lo Nechshu Chavirim Litvam Shalom Amukav means the Truma has to be next to it. You can only take Truma if the thing you're making Truma is next to the Chulin. Like, I can't say, oh, the produce in my house in Tel Aviv will be truma, the 2 kilo of produce in my house in Tel Aviv will be truma for the 98 kilo in my house in Beersheba. It has to be mukav, it has to be next to each other. So makifin, I know sometimes it means to surround, but often it means to be next to. So literally, the hakif is to put them next to each other. Why don't you put things next to each other? That's the best way to tell if they're the same color or not, right? You put them next to each other, then you can tell. If I look at one, you know, in Yerushalayim, and I look at the other in Tel Aviv, it'll be hard to remember if they're the same, but I put it next to each other. So do you have to, let's say I shechted a chicken. Do I have to, like, bring that chicken blood and put it next to the kesem I found on my skirt and look if they're the same color or not? The answer is no, I don't have to put them next to each other. I can minastam bitole, unless I know they're different colors, minastam, I assume they're the same color. That is the rule. This is controversial. The Torah quotes from the Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban and the Rashba quote a Yesh Omrim. And it doesn't say who the Yesh Omer is. But there's a quote of Yesh Omer that you have to put the Tliyah and the Kesem next to each other to see if they're the same color. And some even go so far that if you're not enough of an expert to compare the colors, you have to be Machmer. Misafik. Meaning, the Ramban quotes Yesh Omer, you have to check and make sure they're the same color. You have to know they're the same color to be Tola. The Ramban himself says, no, you don't have to know they're the same color to be Tola. You don't have to know the same color to be Tola. If you know they're different colors, it's a problem. Ben Astam, it's Mutter. Even if you could check, you don't have to check. Isaac, what do you mean, even if you could check, you don't have to check? Isn't there a rule, whenever we say Safik Drabban Lakula, you have to check if you can? So how come you don't have to check, at least if you can? What? Exactly, because Safik Drabban, it's not the regular rule of Safik Drabban Lakula. In a regular Safik Drabban Lakula, you have to check if you can check. Why here don't you even have to check? Because... No, but why do you have to check if one is red and one is black? It says here, you don't even have to check if one is red and one is black, which can't change unless you know. Why don't you at least have to check if one is red and one is black? The answer is because by Ksamen, they made a special rule called Tliya that you're Tola on any concrete basis Tliya, and you don't even have to check. That's the longest. That the Tliya of Ksamen is not Safik Drabban Lakula. It's a special built-in Kula, which is more powerful than Safik Drabban Lakula. Okay, Ilan was also right. That you don't have to check, it's a slightly different shade of red, because you could be told a slightly different shade of red, because it changes when it goes to a new surface. But you don't even have to check if one is red and one is black. Why not? Because min astam you're told until proven otherwise, that's the rule of Tliya. Okay, now let's go to Lamed Aleph. Here we have a Gemara in Daf, I forget which Daf, but it should say here, Samach Aleph, called the Sheva Samamanim. Lamed Aleph. Matza kesem ve'ilu malitlos. You find a kesem and you don't have a tliya. V'adok mesupik damu tseva, but you're not sure if it's blood or paint. You don't have a tliya, but you're not sure if it's blood or paint. Now, I assume the case is, not it's obviously paint. Not it's obviously blood. You're not sure. Sometimes you can't tell what it is. Maveris lo shiva sammanim. Sammanim here means, what does sammanim mean?
Spices? Clean dyes?
What?
Cleaning agents?
Cleaning agents really means sammanim are like really chemicals, I guess we could say. Right? Now, you're thinking of the Ketoris, right? So, and there are cleaning agents here, right? So, you use seven types of cleaning agents. Im amad be'eino harizet seven tohorek. If you use these seven you know it's very hard to remove paint? It's actually hard to remove blood also sometimes. Right? Let me give you some advice here. If you ever get blood on your shirt, what should you not do?
Rub it.
What should you not do? Okay. Good. I'll teach you something besides Torah. If you ever get blood on your shirt, you should not wash it in hot water. Hot water will make the blood set and it will never come out. What should you do? Wash it in cold water. You're another, not just a chacham. You should wash it in cold water. If you wash it in cold water, it comes out bekalei kalot. Like mamish, if this whole thing was full of blood, happened to me once in Gruss, I'd like go someplace afterwards. My whole shirt was full of blood because I got up from the giving blood too quickly. And like just started squirting out. I just stuck my whole arm under the cold water faucet. In about 45 seconds, my shirt was clean. Wet! I had to wait for it to dry. Cold water takes out blood very easily. Hot water, it'll never come out the rest of your life. Okay, that's good advice. Has nothing to do with our Shulchan Aruch, but it's always good to learn other things. Agav Orcha. Torah Umanda. Now you learn chemistry in addition to Torah. The only difference is, in Torah, I hope you understand the Svaras, at least to a certain extent. And in chemistry, I don't know the Svara at all. I just know that it's true. Now, what do we have here? But paint is really hard to get out. So, if you use these seven chemicals, and if it doesn't come out, you know it's paint and she's tahora. The anum averus halav. And obviously, if it does come out, then lachora, you know it's blood and she's tmeya. The anum averus halav. What if you don't test it? Tmeya misafek. Then misafek. You have to assume it's tame. You find a stain. You don't know what it is. Then you have to assume, remember, now we're not talking about a tliya. You find a stain, you don't know what it is. It might be paint, it might be blood. If you want to test, test. If you don't want to test, then it's usher. The achshav ein lanu havarsh, why doesn't he tell us what the shivas amanim are? There's a whole sugya. You would be surprised how many details there are in the sugya about exactly how to do this shivas amanim test. Achshav ein lanu havarsh shivas amanim, they she ein lanu mekim ksas mishmo. So nowadays we can't do this test because we're not experts in some of them exactly what they mean.
That's where you dealt with paint or didn't?
Well, you did. This is when there's no tliya. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva Eger said something. If you go back to Rabbi Akiva Eger on Se'if something, on Se'if Chav Gimel, he took this line to Shulchan Aruch and applied it to tliyos. He says, if you painted, you have to check with Shiva Samanim before you're told on the paint. We disagree with him. No, none of the posts can agree with him. But another post can. If you go to a library, you'll find like two who do. But I'm saying like 98% of the post can don't agree with him. When it comes to Tlios, you don't have to check Shiva Samanim. Because the rule of Tlios is, Tlia is a built-in rule. Whenever you have a Tlia, you can be told that and you don't have to start checking.
What's the Chiddush?
Here we're talking without Tlios. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that the test works. You wouldn't have known the test on your own. You're not dealing with paint.
You don't have any basis.
But you just... The Chiddush is you didn't paint at all. You didn't walk near people painting. You were not anywhere near painting, to the best of your knowledge. But if you can prove it's paint, then it's paint, right? I had to get there.
You always do this test.
You could always do this test. No, sometimes it's so obviously it looks like blood that you know it's not paint.
Also, it could be blood, but not yours. Meaning it could be blood, but not from the core, in which case it doesn't really help you.
Correct. But basically what this test does is if you have no tlia, again, if you have no tlia, let's mention again, the Shiva Samanim test. Shiva Samanim. If you have no tliya, then you can do the test if you think it might be paint. Like the woman says, I have no tliya whatsoever. But this looks like it might be paint. So go do the test and prove whether or not it's paint. After all, if you prove it's paint, then we don't know how you got paint on you. But if you can prove it paint, it's paint, right? That's obviously mutter. Right, then you do the test. We'll come back to that in a moment. What if you work with paint? Then, that's machlokas, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you have to do the test because you can't be tole if you can be mevarer. You can't be tole if you can be mevarer. You can't attribute if you could check. Check whether or not this is paint before you attribute it. All the other posts can say otherwise. The rove posts can say, nope, no test necessary. Why? You can be tole on a tliya, meaning you need a concrete tliya, right? If you work with paint, even you can be tole on a tliya min hastam, and you don't have to be mevarer. Again, unlike Safa Durba Lakula, where you have to be mevarer if possible, when there's a tliya, you don't have to be mevarer. This was in Sif Chaf Gimel, right? This is Sif Chaf Gimel. Sif Chaf Gimel in Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you want to... Did I write down who the post can disagree with Rabbi Akiva Eger? The Torah Sashlamim, for example, the Torah Sashlamim right here in Chavtes says, meaning Sifkat in Chavtes, says someplace here. One second. The Hadib Ziflamin Tzarch Lakava Kesem, and he came to you, should over Litlos Ba'adif Misveka. Yeah, if there's a tliya, that's better than a sveika. Okay, I mean, he says it a little indirectly. Sif Gimel, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and Sif, what are we on now? Laman Aleph?
Yeah.
Bit Torah Sashlomen. So we'd say Torah Sashlomen and Rav Poskim. You want to know who the other Rav Poskim are? Look in the Bari Shulchan, he'll quote a list of Achronim who disagree. This is Sif Laman Aleph, yes.
So would Rabbi Akiva here say that anytime you can be Mavara, then you should? Meaning, like, the lipstick or the colors from your clothing, all those pieces?
That's what it would seem. It would seem, yes. You know, what would you do with the Hakmi didn't say anything to Shulchan Aruch later? It's a good question. Like, why doesn't he object to the Shulchan Aruch Sukkot and Lamed? Right? Why doesn't he object to Sukkot and Lamed? Sukkot and Lamed is not a Gemara. He's allowed to object to it if he wants. There's a Yesh Arim who goes even further. I'm not sure. That I'm not sure why he doesn't also object to Sif Lamed. So I have to leave it. Sorry, Leo. Yes?
Is it safe to say that Rabbi Akiva thinks that the Din of Tlina is like Noveya from Sevedevan of Gula?
That's what it sounds like. That is what it sounds like. That is what it sounds like. Again, he says this one thing. What you see is what you get here. There's one little Haggah for Rabbi Akiva. And it's a Haggah, it's not an essay. But that's what it sounds like. Now, how about in our case? Let's just review our case. Let's say there's no Tliya. Then you do the test. Let me ask the following question. What if the stain comes out? Then she's a sewer, because you know it's blood. What if the stain doesn't come out? Then she's muteris. You know that it is paint. Here's the interesting question. Two interesting questions with the answer. Number one, what if she doesn't do the test? What if she doesn't do the test? That's mafurish and mechaber. She's asura. Here it gets a little tricky. Some people understood from the Rambam that if she doesn't do the test, she's muteris, because suffik derabon lakula. Maybe it's da, maybe it's seva, suffik derabon lakula. If she doesn't do the test, why can't we say suffik derabon lakula? So here there are two answers. The Torah Sashlomim in Sivkatan Lamed, or really Sivkatan Chav Tes, I think. Yeah. Why don't we say suffik derabon lakula in this case? After all, it might be paint. So the Torah Sashlom here in Sukkot and Lamed and Sukkot and Chav Tes says, because this is not a Tliya, this is a regular Safek Derabanan Lekula. In regular Safek Derabanan Lekula, you have no right to be Mekel if you could check. You're only allowed to be Mekel Safek Derabanan Lekula if you can check. So here, you can't say Safek Derabanan Lekula if she didn't do the test, because since she could have checked, you have no right to say Safek Derabanan Lekula. That's the Torah Sashlom. The Bach, if you look on the Torah right here, he gives a different answer. He says, no. The whole gzera of ksumim is that if you find a stain with a tliya, they made super kulas. And if you find a stain without a tliya, they made a chumra. Every stain without a tliya is part of the gzera of ksumim. So built into this gzera of ksumim is that if you find a stain without a tliya, you have to be machir. Okay, so here, why, anytime there's no tliya and you find a thing, you don't know what it is, why don't we say saf derabanan lekula? Either because it's what we call efshar levarer, Torah Sashlomim, or because, no, that's the chumra built into the gzera of ksumim. Every stain is usser unless you have a tliya. Okay, here's the interesting case. I'm going to need you to erase the board. To take it to the board. Sorry. Where it gets interesting is in the opinion of the Ramban and the Raya here, which I personally have a beef with all the Achronim, and I'm not sure what to do about it, because it can't be that I'm right and all the Achronim are wrong, but it looks like it. Sorry, Ian. So, this does not come up in the Shulchan Aruch. But in the Torah, the Mes Yosef quotes a Machlokas Rishonim about this Heter of Shiva Samlanim. Let's erase the board and bring down this Machlokas. What's the case they argue about? Let's make sure we got the case they argue about, right? We'll put it on the board. Ain't Tliya, Matza Kesem, Ve Hevira Alav Zion Samonim, Ve Lo Avar. It didn't, it was not erased by the Zion Samonim. So, what have we now proven? What does it prove? The seven samanim don't clean it?
It's
That it's not just that it's not dung, but that it is
paint.
Right? Therefore, what it seems to be is that it is tseva. Okay. So say the Rambam and the Rashba and the Mechaber and the Poskim. Therefore, she is tahora le'inyan taros and muteres le'bala. And this is how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Meaning, Shulchan Aruch says muteres le'bala. Shulchan Aruch doesn't care about taros because he was writing for his man Azeh. What she did don't we paskin like? The Shita of the Ravid and the Ramban, they say tahora l'inyan taros va'asura libala. Tahora v'taros v'asura libala. Okay.
That's the Ravid and
the Ravid and the Ramban. You don't need parentheses here. Okay. Now, we don't paskin like them. We paskin as a heter across the board. But the Taz, at the end of Sivkot and Yud Ches, it's a little random, because Sivkot and Yud Ches on Sif Chav Zayin, and he's really asking a kasha on Sif Lamed Aleph. I mean, just like he doesn't... It's just a quirk of the printers. He has Sivkot and Yud Ches, which is on Sif Chav Zayin. The next Sivkot is on Sif Lamed Beis. And then he also has a Sivkot on Sif Lamed Aleph. Just the paragraph about Sif Lamed Aleph doesn't start with the Dibur HaMaskel. So the printers wouldn't give it its own Sifkutin number. So like in the middle of Sifkutin Yud Ches is the Taz's comment on Sif Lamed Aleph. Why didn't they make it a new Sifkutin? Because the printers wouldn't give it a new Sifkutin if it didn't start with the quote from the Shulchan Aruch. And here it doesn't start with the quote from the Shulchan Aruch. In the Torah wrote the name of the Ramban. She'ein lesmach al dikzaman el letaros of alo lebala. The kasha. What's the difficulty about the Ramban in Lumbus? I don't mean Lumbus Chakiris. I just means an analysis, an eon. What's the problem with the Ramban Shita and eon? I don't mean is he... you could just say, you know what they're arguing about? How much we trust this Bedika. After all, sometimes we do Ramban and we're machmer not to rely on Bedikos. So the Rambam and the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch and we possibly say we rely on these Bedikos Lagamre. The Ramban and the Rashba say, no, we do Ramban and we're a little more machmer. We want to be machmer for Baala and we'll only be makel for Taros. I can handle that, but what's the fundamental problem?
Usually
we're more machmer than Taros than Baala. I mean, there has to be priorities. Is Taros generally more machmer or Baala generally more machmer? Once you have your priorities, everyone could draw the line wherever they want, when we're machmer, when we're makel. But you can't flip the scale of priorities. You can't say, in this simon, we're only makel for Taros and we're machmer for Taros and we're makel for Baala. And in this simon, we're machmer for Baala and makel for Taros. Like, one has to be generally more chomer. Next is Kasha. The Kasha, Masha Kasha, Reish Shimon Kuf Beivav, the Taros coming from Baala. What is Shimon Kuf Beivav? And remember in what context Taros is more chomer? Bedikos. Everyone agrees Taros is more chomer. We argue how much more chomer, but it's a Gemara that Taros is more chomer. Okay, the low kasha midi lafi, according to what the Beis Yosef wrote in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Okay, which he doesn't tell you what it is, but I mean it's in the book. This is a very fundamental question, which is a very fundamental question against the Ramban. How could it be that we are more machmer? Like, what are we more machmer for? Taros or Baala? Which is more chomer? Which is more kal? So here we have a problem, right? Everything we thought until now was that Taros is more chomer than Baala, right? But how come all of a sudden here, according to this, I know we don't pass like the Shita, but it's a kash on the Shita. How could Baala be more chomer than Taros? Now Misvara, why might you say Baala is more chomer than Taros? Misvara, why might Baala be more chomer than Taros? Because Baala is an Isser Kares, and Taros, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Isser Kares. You could get an Isser of Misa B'dei Shemayim for Truma, for a Kohen, but even so, that's less than Kares. And if you're not a Kohen, you know, if you don't have Truma, then, you know, then it's not even, it's only at most an Isser Drabbanon or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. The Machloket could be getting at the nature of Ketamin, right? Is it fundamentally for Taros, and the extension is Isser for Baila, or is fundamentally really Isser for Rosbin, And by extension, we to make it for consistency.
Yeah, but then why would they fundamentally only make it for a husband? Why wouldn't they be more machmir by Taros? I think you're begging the question. Agav, just me svara, you could be more machmir for a balak because it's Karis. Or you could be more machmir for Taros because Taros is something which affects the which affects everybody, right? Taros that touches everything and it multiplies a million times. And therefore, you want to be more machmir about it. Okay, here's the question. What do you do with the Ramban and the Rashba? Right? Lefi, the Ramban and the Rashba, not the Rashba, I mean, the Ramban and the Ravid, you have a stira. And Simon Kuf Pei Vav, when it comes to Bedikos, we say Taros is more Chomer. But in Simon Kuf Tzadi, when it comes to Bedikas Samanim, we say Bala is more Chomer. How do we resolve this stira? Now here's where I'm going to get in trouble. But first let's see how we resolve this stira. So the Taz refers to the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph. What does Beis Yosef say in Kuf Tzadi Aleph? So one answer is the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph. And the Taz here, right? He doesn't say what it is, but he says he agrees with it. He says that really Bi'ikaron Bala is more Chomer. Why? Because it's Karis. Really Bala is more Chomer. Why do we have more Bedikos for Taros? The answer is the Chiyav Bedika for Taros was only made as part of a certain takana d'rabbanan. What's the topic of the first mission of Maseches Nida? Anyone? Dayashaita. Or what's the other side of the coin? Tumas Beis Leis. They're mitaken on a woman retroactive tuma, 24 hours or her last bedika, whichever is shorter, if she finds herself to be a Nida. Now, retroactive tuma can only apply to Taros. There can't be retroactive tuma for Bala. Right? You're not going to say, retroactively, you shouldn't have slept with your husband. Like, it's not shaykh, right? It's too late. You can say, retroactively, whatever you touched is tummy. You can't say, retroactively, you're forbidden to your husband, because there's no way to implement that. Like, what, retroactively, you should feel bad for sleeping with your husband? I mean, no, you shouldn't. You're b'ches histara. There's no retroactive nafkamina. So therefore, here's the basic assumption. You know why they made all these chiyuvei bedika? They made all this chibidika as a side effect of the takana me'is leis. They're metakin that a woman who finds blood is metami retroactively. And then as a side effect of that, they said, and therefore you should check all the time, because if you're going to be tummy retroactively, we want you to check, so there'll be a limit to the retroactive tumma. Check every morning. So if you find something during the day, at least you'll only be tummy since the morning. Check every evening. So if you find something in the evening, at least you'll only be tummy in the night. You'll only be tummy since the evening. Check before and after Tashmish. Because if you find something, you'll know whether you're Matami your husband or not in Tum of Atara purposes. So, he says, no. This is because the Dikos were only required due to the Gzera of retroactive tuma me'es le'es, or retroactive tuma, meaning it goes back 24 hours or until your last bedika. Therefore, they're only for Taros. But it's not because Taros is more chomor, it's because technically you can't have retroactive Isra Labala, because you can't have an Isra Lemafreya Libala. Now, you could say, still check for your husband, but since checking was only nigzar, the takana of checking was only made together with the takana of retroactive toma, it was only for Taros and not for Bala. The Prisha gives three answers, but his first answer, the Prisha here, if I don't say where, it's right here. Right? In his first answer. The other answer is he just quotes the other achronim, or says like the other achronim. He says, plus he says, really Bala is more chomer. So why do we require bedika for Bala?
Exactly. He says Bala's more chomer, but there's a special rule to not require a bedika for Bala because we're afraid of libo nokvo. And even if you say, I'll do it now, I'll do it then, still, even if you do it not b'shas tashmish, there's a little libo nokvo. So he says, even though Bala is more chomer, they were makel on bedikos because shelo yehe libo nokfo, because they didn't want him to be nervous. That's what the Prisha says. The Bach says something very similar to the Beis Yosef, but slightly different. The Bach right here. These are the three answers I know of, besides what I'm going to claim. The Bach right here says that that it depends. There's two types of tumah. Again, this is similar to Beis Yosef. Two types of tumah of taros. There's knowing whether you're tummy from now on, and knowing whether you're tummy lamafreya. And knowing whether you're tummy now from now on, and knowing whether you're tummy lamafreya. What does he say? Let's think about this for a second. Hold on. Now that I'm thinking of it, I'm having trouble getting it to work. So give me a third of a second here to see if I can get it to work. Says the Bach here in Sifkat Lamed Aleph Ikul Medek etc. The Ein Zel Haba Hasan the Chumash Lo Yedudu. Alright, I'm not Not sure. I'm fundamentally seeing how the Bach is different from the Prisha. So, if you want, I will. I thought I understood the Bach, but I seem to have lost my Bach of Havana. I'll read you what he says. He says the Bach when he first gets the question, then his answer is the Ein Zel Bal Lasuk Bataros LaBa. We're only machmir when she wants to touch taros from now on. Hasam hudechmir means the opposite of the Beis Yosef. She has to do a check before she touches taros. He does throw in libo nokfo also, which makes it a little tricky. Yeah, it's not 100% clear to me if we're talking about the same as the Prisha or not. Okay, let me just point out something which is a little funny. If you look in the Ramban, if you look in the Beis Yosef here, he quotes this machlokes, Rishonim, and he quotes for Ramban Pirish Mishnasenu Le'inyan Taharos. Okay, that is, how does he know that the Ramban, how do we know that the Ramban holds that it's only in Taros? That's a quote from the Rashba. Okay, then again he quotes Od Kasav Shem. He quotes from the Magen Mishnah that the Chain Das Ramban, that it's only for Taros. She'ain b'dika samanim dover bar l'tarsi ishav lohutzkul tamal elinyan maga, meaning touching the beged for taros. Okay, he quotes from a lot of the later Rishonim, including the Ramban. He doesn't quote the language of the Ramban himself.
But if you look in the Ramban in the Chiddushim on Shas, right there in the Sugya, he actually says he meant something totally different. If you look in the Ramban himself, the Ramban Atzmo, he says, I didn't mean we're more machra by Baal and make by Taros. That's not what I meant at all. Here, really, Taros is Chomer. He did not mean these were machra by Baal. He meant something else. He meant that this is not a test. This is not a test to see what it is. It doesn't prove what it is at all. What did he really mean? He didn't mean Chomer Vakula. Rather, what did he mean? Rather, he meant this. He meant that the Bedikas Zayin Samonim does not always clean Seva or Dam. No, the Bedika Seva Tzamonim does not prove whether it's Seva or Dam. He meant it doesn't prove whether it's Seva or Dam at all. It could be Seva, it could be Dam. Even if it's still there, it could be Seva or Dam. So then how does it help? It only helps L'taher es habeged mikan ulahaba. It only helps L'taher's habeged mikan ulahaba. How does it help L'taher's habeged mikan ulahaba? Right? It still could be tzeva, still could be done. Let's say you did the bdika, and there's still a stain there. You don't know for sure what it is. But he says, what does it say here? It says here, Shiva Samonim Avirim Al Hakesem, etc., etc., etc. One second. Yeah. Okay. It's not so much. If you look in the Chidushim, I didn't bring the Ramban Anita here. If you look in the Ramban Anita, you know what he says? He says it only helps the Taras of Begin Mikhan Lahaba. How so? Because Miman of Shach. If it's Tseva, it's Tseva. If it's Dam, then even if a stain remains, what remains is Balua. It takes away the main stain of the Dam. Whatever's left if the Shevet Samanin is only Balua. If it's only Balua, then something that's Balua can't be Matami anymore. Right? It only helps the Tara Zekes Mikhan Lahaba because even if Dam is left, it's only Balua, and Balua, it has no more Be'en. It's only Nivla in the Beged. Balua is not Matame. We have a rule, Tuma Blue is not Matame, Tara Blue is not Mitame. So if you look at the Ramban in his Chidushim on Shas, he seems to give a totally different hesber. Everyone thought what he was saying is that we're makel by Taros and Machmer by Bala because Bala is more Chomer because it's Karis. But Lamdaf goes what the Ramban meant. If you look at the Ramban inside, he says it's not that we're makel by Taros. For Tara, it's not that we're makel by Taros and Machmer by Bala. It's just that it doesn't work for Bala because it could be Dam. It works for Taros because from now on, even if it's Dam, it cleans it enough that what's left is Balua. And if what's left is Balua, then it's not Matami anymore. In which case, he was really not contradicting Simon Kof Pei Vav at all.
I assume the Beged is still a Rishon with Tumah. Just the Dam is not, cannot be Matami.
Correct. The Beged would still be a Rishon, but there wouldn't be an Av anymore.
Right.
Okay, so Lemaisa, that would eliminate the whole question in the first place. I don't know if any of the Yachronim had access to the Ramban's Kiddushim Anita. I wonder about that. Could be they didn't have access to the Ramban's Kiddushim Anita, which would explain why no one gave this answer. Or it could be that I got something else wrong. I should have brought in the Lashon and read it to you, but you can look it up right there and read it yourself in the Mishmash.
Did you ask that from any Rebbe's Rabbana?
No, I never really... Rebbe's Rabbana, like first just started looking with Sifta to see if they quote like someone who gave that answer here. I'm sure you'll find something. Isn't there a Sifta on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would, you know, just look that. Maybe they'll quote from like 100 people who said that. And if they don't quote from anyone who said what I said, then I'm right. Okay, so we'll be, I ended up doing better.
According to this, the way the Ramban explaining the Shiloh Simonim is not a test, it's a technique.
Right, so it's interesting, it might also be a test. I mean, if it comes out, that might prove that it's done. But if it doesn't come out, it could still be done. So it's not an absolute test, correct. It's not a test, it's more of a cleansing. Meaning it gets rid of enough dam that what's left is baluba.
Is that advice that the Mishnah is giving us? How to ensure that it's just baluba left? And then...
Well, you might say it's half and half. If it comes out, you know it's dam. If it doesn't come out, you know either it's seva or it's left is no longer significant. Right, so it's a mikana lahava more than lama freya. Or it's at least mikana lahava in addition to lama freya, I would say. It's a mikana lahava in addition to lama freya. And then it makes perfect sense what the Ramban is saying. Meaning, you can never prove that it was seva. If it comes out, it was dam. And if it doesn't come out, it still might be dam. You can just be mitahar mikana lahava. Okay, so lamaisa, that's a very interesting philosophical point. We'll pick up Mirza Shem with Siflam and Bays next time.
Ramban's on
the
Gemara there?
Yeah, right there in Daf Samach Aleph Beis in the Chiddush Ramban. You know? I know the... Is it on Sataria? Anyone?
I mean, I have in the...